you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, there's only one site to get the latest Cleveland Browns news, photos, and videos straight from the source. That's ClevelandBrowns.com. You can visit it for everything Browns. Go now, ClevelandBrowns.com. Joining us on the hotline, Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram. Scott, we are about, I'd say, about 10 and a half hours away from finding out if whether or not Andrew Hawkins will join the Browns. What are you hearing, if anything, on that front, and what do you think of the acquisition of Mr. Hawkins if he comes to town?
Yeah, well, I assume that the Bengals aren't going to match just because that, you know, that's been the vibe since the contract specifics came out. But, you know, it makes sense for them to take as long as they can just because they're a rival and they're in division. But, you know, I think it's a good sign. You know, he wasn't at the top of my list when you looked at the free agent receivers, but I think he's a good fit. And I like the fact that, you know, you get him the ball out in space short. You know, you can run some hitches to him and he's got the potential to go the distance. So I'm good with it. Obviously, it fills a big need.
Yeah, Scott, because honestly, if we take a methodical approach, you'd like to see the number two spot be the one that you're filling, and then you bring in who this third guy is. But in order of how this is unfolding in the offseason and in their ability to get a guy in free agency at the receiver position, as you said, you might have other people, you did have other people ahead of him, maybe who weren't, and you weren't very much thinking about slot, but thinking about him as a slot guy, if that piece is secured, then I think it also gives you the other effect of, okay, you can go in the draft, have your pick, hopefully, mostly, of who can be the number two guy, and kind of picture in your head what the dynamic will be with this guy available and two good number ones with Josh Gordon and then X receiver, whoever that other guy is, I think is encouraging in terms of where you see this offense going.
No, I agree. And I think a couple of the big reasons I like it is it weakens the division rival, which obviously is a good thing. And I like that it gives you flexibility in the draft. And obviously, if they'd signed, say, an Eric Decker, then Sammy Watkins would have been out of the picture. And I think by signing Hawkins, it doesn't take Watkins off the table. And it allows the Browns and Ray Farmer some flexibility in the draft. And I think that's the important thing of free agency. Either you fill a need, which means you don't have to force it in the draft, or you allow yourself flexibility to go get certain guys you're aiming for, whether it be Sammy Watkins. And that's one of the things I like about the Hawkins deal.
And also, when you go back and really think about it, the guys that have been brought in to be quote-unquote slot receivers in the NFL as rookies have not done as well. That seems to be a position that takes some time to adjust to, whereas it's a little bit easier if you're a dominant outside receiver to come in and just be dominant right away in the NFL. And I think you make a good point. Keeps the flexibility on the table. And if you were to look at this draft class, it's loaded with guys that are going to start outside right for you. So it makes sense to address the one that's a little bit tougher to find right now with a guy like Hawkins. Scott, Aaron Berry was reportedly here yesterday, cornerback. What do you know about him? And can you confirm that he was in town? And what do you think about that possibility, since we know corner still remains, at least in my opinion, a big need for the Browns?
Right. Well, the team is not confirming that he was here. I checked there today. So, you know, the report's out of the New York Post. But to me, that remains, or that has moved up to now the number one need left. I think you need to find a number two to pair Joe Hayden. You know, I like Buster a lot, but I think he's, you know, maybe we can all agree that he's best suited for that nickel spot. Could start if you needed him to, but, I like a second guy, a bigger guy, playing opposite Joe. And we saw a lot of him go off the board early in free agency, and the Browns weren't able to get one of those guys. You know, DRC never made it here. So, Barry's got kind of a checkered history. He's arrested a couple times, and the Lions cut him. He had an ACL last year that cost him the whole season. He had a shoulder injury that needed surgery early in his career. So, by no means is he a slam dunk opening day starter, but he was scheduled to start before he had the trouble in Detroit.
Right.
So, you know, I think his guy's got upside. He's got a little bit of history with Mike Patton from their days in New York. Big guy, 5'11". So, I think it's a good upside signing if they're able to land him. Obviously, you don't want to spend too much money on him. But that's another position that I think the Browns have to look for in the draft, that all of a sudden, especially if they haven't got one of these guys who are a sure thing come in and start for you, I think it's a possibility of 26, because I think it's really one of their top two or three needs.
Yeah, I think so. Let me ask you about Antonio Cromartie. We know Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie didn't get here, sign the big deal with the Giants. Do you think Cromartie is possible on maybe a one-year kind of prove-it deal at this point, coming off what was a pretty bad 2013 with the Jets, given his – I know they had a run-in at one point, documented in collision low crossers, right. But could that be a possibility? Anything you've heard on that front?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know his name's out there, but the hip really worries me. You know, when you get to be 30-plus – and you're dealing with a hip injury, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, you talk about guys needing to flip their hips, and that's the one position where you really need to do it. That's a big red flag. You know, he struggled last year with the Jets. So, you know, I mean, I'd be fine taking a flyer on him if you get him real cheap, but I don't think that would change my approach to the offseason of the draft.
No,
it'd just be another body. You know, and I talk about the draft. A lot of times you get stud corners that you'd like to take in the top five, but this year it's one of those I'm not sure there's a guy up there. You know, I mean, Joe Hayden was a top 10 pick, and I think you can get lockdown corners in the top five, but I'm not sure this year is the right time for the Browns to have the two picks they have. I think a lot of corners are going to go between 4 and 26 as opposed to in the top five like some years.
Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram joining us here on CBD. Scott, we've gotten this far into this discussion, and I'm shocked that none of us is bringing up quarterback, which I last I checked is still an important position and one that this team still doesn't know that it has right. Do you see the possibility somewhere along the line that the quarterback position can be addressed in a meaningful way? And what I mean by that is drafting someone who sees the field pretty soon or acquiring someone, i.e. like Matt Schaub from Houston via trade. What's your feel for getting that position nailed down this time around in the offseason? Or are we looking at this as a next year thing and Brian Hoyer, you know, keeps the job or gets the job for this year?
Right now, I think both those are on the table, Vic. Earlier, I think Matt Schaub, I think there's genuine interest from the Browns. At the Combine, I heard that a lot. Oh, Matt Schaub's going to wind up there. You know, and I know that people just make the connection because of him and Kyle Shanahan, but I heard that from a lot of people that I respect at the Combine, that, hey, Matt Schaub's going to wind up there. So I think the possibility, obviously you don't want to trade for him. You know, you can't afford to pay him $10 million. But if he hits a free agent market and you can get him the price you want and Oakland doesn't try to spend some crazy money to get him or the Jets, the other teams mentioned that are interested, I think he's a realistic possibility to come in here. And I think that creates a fascinating dynamic with Brian Hoyer because they're both, you know, similar age. Matt Schaub started a bunch more games, got 44 wins in his career. I think if you sign him, then he comes in and is your starter. And then what do you do with Brian Hoyer? Is he content being a backup? You know, does anybody else in the league want him? You know, is Bill O'Brien interested in Houston? I think that would create a lot of interest, but the fact is that's not open for discussion until Houston releases him or you reach a trade. So I think that part of it's on hold, and I think what's probably going to happen in the draft, although the top three quarterbacks are still in play at number four, I just get the sense more and more that it'll be a later-round guy, whether it's second or third round, whether it's Mettenberger or Derek Carr maybe or Aaron Murray. You know, you hear all those names, A.J. McCarron. I could see the Browns going there and not having to force that guy into the lineup, whether it's Schaub or Hoyer. That becomes your guy for 2014, and then you get the guy to sit on the bench for a year, at least part of the year, and kind of let him get comfortable, and then hopefully you hit on that guy for down the road.
Yeah, and that's certainly a way we could go see it gone after and see it attack, kind of like the Seattle Seahawks in that approach that way, as opposed to going and making the big splash early in the draft. Scott, when you look at this team, we talked about corner. Guard is another position that a lot of people have talked about as being a big need for the Browns. The free agent market on that position, the big names have all pretty much been signed up. Do you expect that to be a position attack, kind of either maybe a 26 or 35 for this Browns team?
You know what? I kind of see him go wait until the third round for that. And I know I'm not saying that guard is not important. I know you got to build on the lines. But I just can't get too excited about drafting a right guard at 26 or even 35. You know, you see a lot of good offensive lines where they find those guys later in the draft. You know, you got a couple guys on the roster. You know, I haven't given up on Pinkston yet. You know, Garrett Gilkey, I thought, did a couple things last year. I liked his attitude. You know, I talked to him at the end of the year when he started to get a little bit of playing time. And he was real confident, felt that there wasn't too much for him, that he might be able to come in and play in this league. And I think he's got a little nasty to him. So, you know, I'd like to see him kind of pile up a bunch of middle to late round guys this year, maybe draft two guards. You put them in the mix with Pinkston and Gilkey, and you got Greco on the other side, you know, assuming they don't lose Alex Mack, and let one of those guys take over the job. I don't think you really need to force another guard, especially if you're paying Alex Mack and Joe Thomas a bunch of money. Then I think you kind of got to fill in those guys and coach them up.
Yeah, there's no question about that. That it's about, and you hit it, what this coaching staff can do with these players, because there is an acclimation to a new system. We know that, what it's going to take to block in this system. And I don't want to overplay that, but I know a lot has been discussed about the physical prototype too, Scott, that the guy has to be nimble, you know, good on his feet, be able to move, work in that lateral lateral flow, and then work up the timing with your running back. So, you know, Ben Tate has been part of this and knows it as a running back, but now you have linemen who really have never blocked in this type of thing before, and there's a fair amount of cut blocking involved in this too, and I know that takes a very high level of athleticism to get yourself down and rolling toward legs and not taking yourself too far out of a play.
Yeah, and, you know, to me, you know, if you got four of the five offensive line spots taken care of, you should be able to put in anybody at that fifth spot, if it's that right guard spot.
Sure.
And should have some success. Now, that means you have to have that right tackle spot figured out. And whether or not it's Mitchell Schwartz, whether he gets better in his third year, or whether, like you guys mentioned before, Chris Falk, is he ready to play? Or you go get a draft. You know, I'd be more comfortable if you say the Browns determine Mitchell Schwartz isn't the guy at right tackle. I'm okay getting the right tackle at 25 or 36. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm more comfortable with that than taking the guard. And I think you can find that guard from a, you know, from your pool of candidates.
All right. Scott, thank you. It was great to get your breakdown, and hopefully we will be talking with you soon about the latest addition to this team, Andrew Hawkins at wide receiver, but we'll see how that all plays out. You'll be covering that as well, and we'll talk again, man.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Thanks,
Scott.
He
is Scott Petrek, Elyria Chronicle Telegram. We're going to do a buzz around the National Football League. We call it our Blitz at 2 p.m. You'll hear from multiple NFL reporters from around the NFL at 2:30. We're going to talk more about Andrew Hawkins with Jeff Hobson of the Bengals.com, the team's official website there. All of that ahead on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.